What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Honest Tattooer Podcast. My name is John Mesa, and I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Triano.
Hey, how you doing?
And our boy, G Money, on the couch.
What's good, peoples?
What's good, guys?
What up?
How's it been?
Pretty good.
How's it been hanging, to the left or to the right?
I'm a lefty.
I'm a lefty.
Damn. I don't know, I think I'm right down the middle.
Straight shooter.
Straight shooter, baby. Pew, 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 pew. So this week, a few interesting things went down on the internet. One thing that I saw was that I guess the guy who tattooed LeBron James.
Oh, I saw this. He's trying to sue them like for having his tattoos on the game or something like that.
Yes. And he lost.
Yeah.
He lost that lawsuit.
Huh.
Which I don't know what the the exact terms of the loss, but like now that kind of clears it for anybody else to not be able to really win that case if they try to do it. You know,
that's like, hey, I used your reference. That was a photograph you took.
So. Well, it's not even that. It's more of like, let's say you tattoo a famous actor and they make a movie and they just, choose to use all his real tattoos and leave them in the movie. Now, like, cover them up with makeup and give him fake ones. Then that means that he has the rights to his image. You don't have the rights to the images that you put on his body.
So for those who don't know what we're talking about, Ink Magazine put a post up saying that tattoo artist who inked LeBron James and tried to sue NBA 2K Games lost his case.
Yes.
So it was NBA 2K Games. Yeah, I actually I chimed in on this one, and I wrote that a commercial artist who's doing work for clients, if they're doing professional work, they have contracts signed that are protecting the artists for the rights to the person who's buying the artwork.
Yeah.
So when someone purchases the rights, 9 times out of 10, they're only purchasing like one single, I forgot the terminology. It was like one, how do you say this? Single term rights or single like use.
Single use.
Single usage, yeah. And basically what that means is like you're buying only the rights to do one specific thing for this image. And if you want to do anything else, you have to buy more rights. So usually that would be like, all right, I'm hiring this guy to do an illustration for a book cover. So the publisher would purchase the rights of the artwork only to use that artwork for this book cover for this amount of time or this many copies of the book, something like that. And then once it extends past that, they have to buy more rights to be able to do that.
Yes.
So what I was saying is that tattoo artists, we don't sign contracts. We don't have our person that we're tattooing fill out anything other than a release
form. A release form, that's it.
Yeah, there's no legalities of what could be done with this artwork.
That's correct.
So, might as well be a handshake.
Exactly, yeah. So once that artwork is on the body of the person, it's theirs.
It is theirs.
They bought it.
They bought it, they own it. It's gone forever, guys. So one thing that I was gonna say based on what you were saying was that, so when I've done ads for companies, through like an influencer, you know, kind of job, right? I get a job for a company. They're like, hey, John, we want to send you these clothes. We want you to model these clothes. We want you to create a reel and some photos for these. On the ad, it's very, very specified of, you know, the contract for the influencer deal is usually specified of like, we will, you know, pay you this much and we want the rights to use this for the next 30 days, 90 days, 365 days. Mm. And they are able to use my likeness, my image, and the content that I create for that set time to either create their own ads, paid promotional ads, like through TikTok, through Instagram, or whatever, from the content that I create. Now, if it's outside of that, then I can like sue them for some money.
Yeah.
But they're always very, very on point when it comes to all of those things. And I have like a social media manager that tries to negotiate those terms of like, oh, you want to use it for longer, then it costs you more money up front to use that time. But that's the part where as tattooers, we don't think about things like that at all.
Yeah. I mean, think about how, like, to have every client sign something as a contract, be like, oh, you're not allowed to use this image for anything other than just like, hey, look at my tattoo. Like,
that's a lot easier than you think. That's in the, how many clients do you think read the whole release form?
Oh, nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you really wanted to,
yeah, just throw it in the release form.
Just throw in a little tiny paragraph on the release form. If that's what route you wanted to take. If you're like, hey, I feel like my art is one of a kind, I wouldn't want this person to just then now like make stickers of their tattoo design that I made and they could sell these now for whatever reason, you know, like they technically could if they really wanted to, you know, you made the artwork for them and now it's on them and they can do whatever they want with it. So I don't know. It's one of those like weird things where it's like, it feels kind of slimy. And like when I commented on that Ink Magazine post and I was like, oh, that's such a slimy money. I was like, that's a money grab move, you know, because I feel like, I don't want to put, you know, say that that's what this dude's intention was, but he was like, you remember like, what's his name? Pookie and Friday where he like, I think his name was Pookie. You remember when he falls on the, at the supermarket, he's like, ah, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. I'm suing, but I'll settle right now for $50. Yeah. You know,
I think he said $20 and like a liquor or something.
Exactly. Like right. Right. I forget that dude's name, but I was like, but I feel like that's kind of the vibe of the, of like a tattooer trying to sue for this, for like NBA 2K. He goes to a lawyer. He's like, oh dude, let's ask for $1 million. If they can settle for $100,000, we're good. You know,
what was the outcome of the guy who did Mike Tyson's tattoo on his face and then they redid it again in The Hangover? Didn't that guy try to sue also?
I believe he did.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that?
He did. I don't know. A quick Google search will service that. Let's see.
Yeah.
He did get paid for an undisclosed amount.
Oh man.
So that means it was a lot.
He did get paid, bro.
For a simple tribal tat.
Right.
Yes. So check it out. I'll give you the quick.
All right, go for
so
it.
His initial demand was actually an injunction on continued screening of the movie Hangover 2. So he wanted to get, it's like, as long as this movie's playing, I want to keep getting paid because they asked for the rights of the tattoo. They knew what they were doing.
Okay.
So they went up front and asked them, and then, and he asked for that. And they denied that. They're like, nah, we're not going to pay this tattoo artist like a, you know, percentage of every time that this freaking movie like does it. And because it would have cost them a ton of money, you know? And the lawsuit did not demand a specific amount for damages, nor did it need to. But then the tattoo artist in the WB settled out of court for an undisclosed amount.
Hmm. Out of court.
Out of court. For an undisclosed amount.
They gave him a nice check.
Yeah, they gave him a nice check.
I'd be like, listen, we're not.
That's go away money.
Yeah.
That is go away money. It's
like, you're not going to get this percentage off of, but we will write you a check.
We will
now.
Write you a check so you just go away. Yeah. Go bye bye.
Yeah.
But that's, I think that's the biggest difference in this situation, that they asked for the permission. He said, that's fine. I'll give you permission. But for this, and they were like, nah, we're not doing that. But they used it anyways.
Oh, I didn't realize
that's
that.
The part really. And that's the part why they didn't want to take it to court. Cause if he can prove that, like, look at the correspondence between me and this gigantic movie studio, you know? And like, I told them that I would, but they would have to pay me this. And I said, no. And I said, I'm not down to do that. Then that's how it went down.
Hmm. It makes me wonder now, I don't know if you guys ever met my buddy Frankie, but he's been on a couple of reality TV shows. He was on, I think it was called Best in Bridal or some shit like that.
Okay.
He played like, the one guy in the bridal shop who was selling bridal gowns to like these women who were getting married.
Yeah.
And then he was in America's Next Top Weatherman.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And, he did a couple of other things, but every time that he was on a show, I would get an email from the production company saying, you know, hey, we want to be able to show Frankie's tattoos. Do you sign off on this? And I would just sign off.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering now if I was like, no, that's not cool.
No.
I wonder if I could have gotten paid for it. Probably.
I'd be like, sure, I'll sign it for $5,000.
Man, lost opportunity there, huh?
Yeah. Even like, you're like, yeah, sure. Send me $2,000. I'll sign it right away for you.
Yeah.
because all of these companies, when they're shooting these things, they got budgets for these things.
Yeah.
They got budgets. You just don't know how much it is, but they probably got a budget to get things signed off and for everything to get checked.
So when they saw my signature for free, they were like, sucker.
Got him.
Oh, the budget stays big.
Yeah, man. I just got not too long ago, I've tattooed this girl who is a big influencer, you know, and she sent me a thing because she was doing like a shoot with Nike and they needed the release for her tattoos. And I signed it off because she's a homegirl. You know? Yeah. I was like, yeah, fine. Here you go. But it's always tricky when you tattoo people. You never know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
You never know where it's going to go.
It's funny.
Yeah.
If you remember, a few weeks back, we had Ed from Tattoo Armor on the podcast, and he was able to hook us up with a discount code for our followers. So Tattoo Armor is literally the best way to wrap your client. I've been using it, Matt's been using it, and it's just awesome. There's no mess, there's no glue, and it's just super comfortable. I hope you can try it for yourself, and just go on to Tattoo Armor and use the code HONESTTATTOOER for 20% off your order.
Another thing that I saw this week on the internet that I thought was hilarious and also very smart. This tattoo artist decided to make, I think I sent it to maybe one of you guys. So they basically took some stencils and they used glue and applied them to a paper lantern.
Oh yeah. You showed me this.
And they put, you know, pretty much like a bunch of stencils around a paper lantern, used like glue to stick it on.
Mod Podge.
And then yeah. And it looked really freaking cool. I was like, oh, that looks awesome. I was like, that's a super clever way to freaking use some stencils.
Right.
But the comment section was what blew my mind.
Somebody call the health department.
This is disgusting. Oh my God. I can't believe that you would use a stencil. It's gross.
You know, what's funny is that I was, I think I had peered into that post before it got ugly in the comment section.
Yeah.
So I had seen it just fresh. And I was like, oh, that's a neat idea. That's, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's cool.
I was like, that's cool. Yeah. But of course, but in the back of my mind, I was like, watch, they're going to tear it up in the comment section. Oh, their skin is touching.
It touched skin. It is disgusting now. I'm like, what?
You know what I immediately thought of? Barbers are using clippers on people's hair.
My dude.
Right?
Dude, I thought that exact thing. Because just that's a couple of days before that, when I went to go get like a shape up, dude, that motherfucker cut me like four times, dude. You know? Yeah. I definitely, blood was drawn on his clippers, bro. And guess what he's going to do? Just go, just give a little spray in the air, dude. And nobody says like anything. Like, oh, I need you to change that metal blade off of that clipper because
I'm gonna need you to throw that entire.
Yeah, I need you to throw that thing in the sterilizer. Like, what?
Yeah, we're gonna need to toss that back into the autoclave. Thank you,
dude. That blew my mind, though. But like, from a few other tattooers, you know, they were also as appalled as I was when they read like these like germaphobe warriors that are out there when it comes to tattooing. Like, it's like they will find the most minimal thing to feel like above another person, you know, like, oh, my cross-contamination skills are way more advanced than yours. Like,
I don't remember who said it, but somebody in the comment section said, you could tell who started tattooing during the pandemic.
So funny. But it's like,
it's contagion out here.
Oh my God, dude. I can't believe it sometimes. I'm like, because on the other hand of tattooing, you know, we have Adam Kaplan telling us, I was like, yeah, man, when I started tattooing, bro, it was like just one thing and one machine and you just freaking went all day, bro. And like, nobody's saying that that's right, but like, God damn.
That's just how it was.
That's just how it was. Now it's like, where do you consider that it's like, where's the line drawn, bro? Like, come on, you know? Like, I feel like everybody practices pretty clean health shit.
Have you seen those videos? Absolutely. I think they're probably in China. It was like these gigantic convention halls of, I'm assuming, like PMU tattooing.
Yes.
But the artists are in full like operation gown. Yeah. With like the hairnet and mask and everything.
That looks so like.
It looks wild. It looks wild.
It's like some Amsterdam drug factory get up.
And they're all like less than 3 feet away from each other. Like they were like tight in this giant hall. And I'm like, how do they find so many people to do this on? Because it looks like they're doing it on real people.
Yeah. Like, all at the same time.
All at the same time. They're learning together. Kind of wild. Kind of wild. But.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I don't know. I feel like tattoo news and stuff like that's what tattoo news are to me. Looking at crazy things that happened in tattoo Instagram. Because I have two Instagrams, and one of them, I don't see any tattoo shit at all, which is probably what normal people Instagram is like. But like a tattooer's Instagram, just full of every weird tattoo video that you could think of, and it's going to pop up on you.
Yeah, of course.
I've been unintentionally retraining my algorithm.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing a lot more food stuff and a lot more like relationship advice stuff.
Oh, I start a whole new Instagram.
Yeah.
That's the best, easiest way to do it. Start a whole new Instagram, follow 10 to 12 pages that are according to what you want to see. And don't stare at butts too long when they show up in your explore page. Because they'll be like, oh, he stopped and looked for more than 3 seconds. He's going to show him this, you know? It's fucking savage. It just reads you. But that was my, you know, I wanted to see more fashion stuff. That's why I started a whole new fashion page so I could like keep up with like fashion stuff.
Yeah. I get a lot of, and not even from the whatever podcast, but people reposting whatever podcast clips.
Those are my favorite. Yeah, dude.
I get a lot of those.
I spend a lot of time on YouTube. So that's where I really get like my podcast fix. I always tell you guys, Dire CEO, one of my favorite fucking podcast shows always, and I usually kind of go between those two guys and watch, you know, they're usually like 2 to 3 hour podcasts, so you can watch two of those in a day, just 5 hours in.
Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah, I'll crush one while I'm like doing my house stuff, you know, just playing in the background. Every now and then I'll come over and see what the hell they're actually doing, you know. But it's good.
Yeah. I reserve all that for my driving time.
Yeah, that's another great podcast time. They're like, good drive. Mm-hmm. But it's like with, there's something about what, you know, probably like if you are a listener of our podcast, and it's a very different experience of just being a listener than like getting to see our faces, expressions, and what we're talking about when we're saying shit. It's just a different dynamic. I feel like we're hanging out when this is happening.
Yeah.
I do see the future of our podcast growing to a point where we can start doing more of like a live podcast at least once a week so we can really interact one-on-one. And, you know, I'm sure sometimes we talk about topics and you guys you want to chime in on what we're saying as you're listening. And I think it would be great to have you guys be able to just like drop a comment right away and be like, yeah, dude, blah, 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 I saw this. And then we can have like even more of an interactive community.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like that's kind of always been the point of Honest Tattooer, to just,
I think so,
you know, just really have a community of like-minded individuals that are willing to have these honest conversations.
Shout out to everybody who chimed in and gave us some advice on how to set up the YouTube Live. We had a lot of people who said OSB is the application that we need to try out.
Yeah.
So we're definitely going to try that out.
Yeah. We're going to try to get that in gear. We're going to try to give it a little trial run, not on the podcast today. Make sure that it's working, and then try to announce like a solid day to get it all freaking going solid. I think that'll be rad.
So actually, if you guys have a topic that you want to discuss live, let us know and we'll be sure to talk about it.
Yeah. Cause we're going to have a super chat open for you guys to really chime in. Throw your comments. We will read your comments out loud, no matter what you want us to say. We will read it out loud. And I think it'll be a whole new dimension.
Choose your words wisely.
Even if you're a troll account, I will read your comment with pride. Don't worry about it.
If it's
Even as I might pay on the side just so I can throw shade to my like, on my phone.
F around and find out. You better be funny.
Yeah, dude. I think it'll be hilarious.
Don't waste our time.
Yeah. Man, so good. Another video that I came across, I sent it to you, and I do want to name this guy because that video was great. It's the one that I sent you.
Yeah. I showed Gabe this video a while ago, too.
Dude, it
remind me what it was.
It was like a half hour long video of this guy just talking about how the industry is right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's Adam Sky Tattoos.
That's right. Yeah.
Where is he from? Oh, he's from Vancouver. So Adam Sky's from Vancouver, Canada. And also tattoos at Belmont in California, at Morningstar Tattoo, and at Sacred Heart Tattoo in Vancouver, British Columbia. Does some cool work. And the video is called Tattooing, What Happened? And I thought that his breakdown of the tattoo industry over the years was so on point, you know? And I think it's something that anybody that's been tattooing since like that, the 2000s, you know, they experience exactly what he's talking about. Like, you know, like there was, I started tattooing after the financial crash, you know, not before it. So I didn't see the big change of like, you know?
No, you probably got into it right before it. 2008 was when the financial crash was.
2008. But I started my apprenticeship in 2007, but I wasn't tattooing.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? Like tattooing yet.
Yeah.
During that time in 2007, and this is wild, I was working at 57th and Lex. And I was a personal training manager really close to, was it Bear Stearns or something like that? It was one of those financial firms that crashed and everybody lost their jobs. Okay. And I remember that day because tons of those guys would be at the gym, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember one of like the sales team, you know, people from the gym were like, oh my God, they're clearing out like Bear Stearns, which is like, it was like unheard of that whole company had fallen because they were like a huge financial firm. And like, it was a big deal. And I was like, oh man, what the fuck is going on? I'm like in my early 20s. And I'm like, this is crazy. But
I don't understand anything.
I don't understand anything, dude. I don't care what any of this means. And, I thought it was wild times, but then like from that point on, it was like the bottom, you could say. Financial markets were at the bottom. So everything was just on the up and up from that point. And that's the thing about being at the bottom. You're only going to start looking, everything's going to start going up from there.
Yeah, yeah.
So like things just were getting better and better and better and better. And we didn't experience anything like a big dump again till like COVID.
COVID.
That's right.
Till COVID. So everything just really was crazy, like during COVID, at least for us, because we, you know, we weren't in Florida or Texas where they were just living their life, doing what the fuck they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But soon after COVID, we were booming.
Yeah.
I don't think that I've ever been.
I was busy.
Dude.
Like too busy.
Too busy, dude. We were slammed. Yeah. Every tattooer was slammed, dude.
Dude, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
There was a college reporter who came into the shop one day. It must have been like a Monday or something. I was the only one here.
Yeah.
And I could tell that this guy had an agenda and he wanted to talk about how COVID is ruining businesses and nobody can afford anything and nobody's working and nobody's spending any money. And he came in here and I smelt it on him. He wanted me to say that we're hurting.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, man, like I haven't been busier since my career started. Like this is crazy right now, how busy I am.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said that, he was like, oh, all right, cool. And then he left.
And then he left.
He left.
He's like, oh, I'm not going to get what I want out of this guy. But I think it was like, you know, every client was like, I'm bored out of my mind. I can't go anywhere. I can't fly anywhere. I just want to get tattooed because I want to feel something, you know, I want to do something. I've been locked up.
Getting that free Orange Man bad check.
Yeah. They're getting all these checks, dude. I got all this extra money.
The stimulus payments here.
Oh yeah, dude. People either got cars, got sleeves, baby. People pulling in the dough, dude. Yeah. They're like, dude, I got this extra money. What am I going to do with it? You know, I'm ready to start this sleeve I've been wanting forever. But that was like good times for tattooing. But also I think it made a lot of people or tattooers that are tattooers now, wearing tattooers then, be like, oh my God, look at all those guys over there making all this money. I'm an artist. I can draw, or I can draw a goddamn thing, but I'll figure it out. Yeah. They make it look easy, and then just jump into the industry. And now we're at this point where everybody kind of, we have a lot of people that have jumped on. Gatekeeping is no longer a thing. You know, everybody can figure out how to get a machine in their hands and freaking open up a, you know, tattoo shop. I think you sent me this. It was like a, somebody that was somewhere in like maybe Orlando that she was like, 2 years tattooing, but I opened up my own studio.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And I was like, okay, cool, man, I guess, you know,
I would love to see, there probably isn't any real statistics on this, but I would love to see how many tattooers and how many shops there were in 2018. Mm-hmm. And then how many there were in 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
Like right when the pandemic hit, I would love to see the numbers on that.
Me too. Me too.
It's gotta be, I want to say at least doubled.
I feel like so, especially even just because a lot of shops closed. Some of those artists broke into like smaller little private studios, which yep. is something that he brought up, you know, in his video, that like the private studio is, or the smaller studio is something that has become more of a norm because the cost is cheaper, is more directly like split between the people that work there, and the overhead is not as high. Because I'll tell you guys right now, my rent is crazy. You know, my bills, my taxes, my insurance is crazy. And it only keeps going up. It never stops. You know, like landlord, every time it goes up, you know, all the bills go up all the time.
Do you feel comfortable talking about those numbers?
I try not to let my accountant handle everything so I don't feel the stress of it.
Okay.
I feel like that's the smartest way to do it.
Yeah.
As long as you don't see it go down. You're like,
yeah, the only thing that I got this year was that this year I paid less taxes than I did last year.
But I'm saying as far as like what it costs to run the studio, like rent, utilities, insurance, all that.
Oh, I wouldn't be able to give you the exact numbers. Like I know, of course, like my rents and all that stuff, but I don't know off the top of my head, like what the light bill was last month. Right. And like, you know, what all the other little small things, because the account handles that. And as long as like those numbers are, you know, like one thing, the accountant was like, bro, why did you spend $25,000 last year on Google ads? And I was like, I did? Oh, man. Yo, and I was like, I did? He's like, yeah, dude. He's like, can you stop that? Can you bring that down some? And I was like, yeah, I think I should bring that down. So I was like, I think I'm going to bring that down. If you're working at a shop, man, and you're paying 60% or 70% take home for you, you know, and that the shop is getting 30, I want you to understand that you're giving your shop $30. Out of that $30, hopefully your shop provided you with a staff to support you, supplies, a place where the lights don't go out. And trust me, I've been in shops where the lights have gone out because the person did not pay the bills. Or times where I've been in shops where the door was closed because the owner did not pay the bill, because the money that you paid into the shop was not going back into the shop, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes those owners are barely at the shop. You know, like I bust my ass off as a tattooer and I try to take care of myself out of my tattooing. And I try to let the shop take care of itself through all of us that work here. I've never looked at it as like, oh man, I'm going to open up a shop. Cause I never wanted to open up a shop with the intention of like, this is going to be my business move. And this, I'm going to get a bunch of money in my fucking pocket. Nah, I just wanted to work at a cool place with a bunch of my friends. It's happened to be that like, business wise, it didn't work out with the rest of my friends that I opened it up with, but I still had a really good crew of people that I wanted to continue to work with. And now I do this podcast with you guys, you know? So I'm still happy, you know, but it's still not like, not a business move. It boggles my mind how like, you know, people that don't tattoo decide to open up tattoo shops. I'm like, why are you opening up a tattoo shop, bro? Open up a bar. That makes way more money. And it's easier to find bartenders than good tattooers, bro.
I think from the outside looking in, someone who's not a tattooer sees, wow, all these people are getting tattooed. There must be a lot of money in tattooing.
Yeah.
And they don't realize everything that goes into it.
They don't. But if you're working somewhere and you're giving your percentage, know that most of the money that's going into the shop, it should be getting put back into the shop. And that's why you should feel good about where you work at. But the effort that you put in, it's about one, maintaining yourself busy and working your ass off. Because I think it's funny because I recently put up an ad looking for another tattooer for the shop. And I'm looking for something very, very specific. It's not just like somebody's like, oh, I want to work at a busy shop where it's gonna, they're going to promote me and book me with clients. I'm sorry, guys. It is not pre-COVID, you know? It is not right after COVID where things are slammed. No, we're in a very saturated industry with a lot of competition and people can look around and shop around. And they shop around before they even walk in the door to a shop.
Yeah.
You know? So if you're like thinking that it doesn't matter how good the shop that you're at, there's a bunch of other really good people within that shop that work with you. So learn to do the homework, learn to do the work to figure out how are you going to stand out, not only in your shop, but also in your community, in your town, in your city as a whole. Because that is the reality of how saturated and competitive the tattoo business has gotten. And it's not only on how good your tattoos are, it's about what kind of experience you deliver to your customer, to what kind of relationships you can build within your community, wherever you're at, where people are like, oh yeah, you know, John's a great guy. Go talk to him. He's awesome. You know what I'm saying? Like if you don't have like a whole group of people that think that way about you, you're going to be struggling.
I think I told you this. There was a girl who came to the shop in response to that post.
Yeah.
And she was so excited to come here. Like the way that it came off was that she already had the job. Like that's like her energy. She came here. She was like so excited to start working here. And then after a little bit, I asked her why she was looking to leave the shop that she was already at. And her response was that she's looking to get into a shop that has more walk-in traffic because she started out in New York, moved out of town for a couple of years, I'm assuming, and then came back and she feels like she's starting over. So she needs a shop that's busy enough to help her like rise up.
Yeah.
And as soon as she said that, I was like, you're in the wrong place. I'm sorry, but like there's already a bunch of artists in this shop who are trying to do what you are doing.
Yeah.
And John's not going to hire somebody new
to be in the same position. Yeah,
that's not what we're looking for. And I watched her heart just melt. And she went from being so excited that she was going to work with us to like almost in tears walking out the door. I'm like, I'm so sorry, but
that's reality.
That's not what we're looking for.
That's not what we're looking for whatsoever. Yeah. And I'll tell you guys straight up, man, like it depends. Like you got to figure out what your goals are going to be in your life and the things that you want to get out of it. And just realize that if you're going to just try to live your life waiting for somebody else to put a piece of bread in your hand, bro, you're going to eat whatever they give you. You got to figure out how to get your big piece of bread. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to figure that part on your own, man. Because at the end of the day, that's the only way you're going to really eat. It's like there's a bunch of people in this city. There's amazing tattooers in the city, New York City that we're in. And I'm sure that in many towns, the situation is going to be different, but there's still going to be competition and you got to figure out how to stand yourself out. And it's not going to be just like, even if you're not an amazing tattooer, figure out how to deliver amazing experiences to your clients and you're going to stand out. to just figure out how to stand out from the crowd, no matter what that may be. I don't know what that is.
And that's only going to get harder the more people get into the tattoo industry.
And that's what I think is happening now.
Yeah.
You know, and I think too many tattooers still have like that old mentality of like, oh, I'm in this great shop. People are just going to show up and they're going to be like looking for me. I'm sorry, my guy. Like a great tattooer nowadays is like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of really good ones, man. Like hit up a convention, dude. There's a ton of them there. Tons of good tattooers, you know? So it's like just doing that. That's just not enough.
Yeah.
That's the reality. People don't like it.
No.
You know? It's like, oh, cool. You got cool drawings? Guess what? ChatGPT does way cool drawings. Way faster than you, bro.
What else you got?
What else you got? All right. What else you got now? So, like...
Yeah, it's true, man.
It's true, man. You gotta figure it out. It's the hard part of the job now.
Yeah.
And I think we're all trying to figure it out, you know? For me, it's always been... Just build good relationships with my clients. I've said this, I think, numerous times throughout the podcast. Like every year, I just try to focus on getting like just a handful of really good clients.
Yeah.
Yep.
All you need is like 10, 15, dude, in a year. That's it. That are awesome. They want to get like, oh, dude, I want to get a full sleeve. After I finish that, we're going to start my other sleeve. After that, we'll start my back. Then we're going to go to my legs.
Yeah.
Bro, that's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I know it sounds crazy to say it like that, but really, that's all you need. Somebody that like fucking, they're like, I like hanging out with you. I like getting tattooed by you. People compliment your work. I tell them that you're the fucking man.
The crazy thing too is that 15, 20 years ago, that type of person was few and far between. The client wanted to get that much work.
Yeah.
Now it's like every other person is willing to get that much coverage.
Yes.
So it's not that hard to find somebody who's willing to stick with you and get that many tattoos and pay for pretty much your car.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you're going to have to really shine.
Yeah.
You're going to have to really shine.
Yeah. Sell yourself.
Sell yourself. I think a great example of that is that kid that came by today. You remember that kid that came by today? You talked to him for a briefly. He came by. He was like, yeah, just want to check out the shop.
Oh, yeah.
True.
That kid wants to get tattooed real bad.
Yep.
And he's down. Yeah. He's so down to get tattooed, but he's like, I want to find the right one.
Dude, as soon as I saw his, like, what his intentions were.
Yeah.
Because originally I was just going to be like, oh, yeah, cool. What do you want to get? All right, cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was like, yeah, I got a whole bunch of things that I want. You know, I've got this, I got that, all different styles. So like, ah, come over here. Check out what John's doing. This is what I did. Go downstairs. There's a whole floor down there. There's other artists. Go check out what Caro's doing. Like I wanted him to feel like he's welcome in this place.
Yeah.
Whether or not he gets tattooed by me or you, I feel like he's going to come back here and get tattooed for sure.
Yeah. There's so many people that I feel like have that experience because it's like you want to make people feel welcome. Not like they showed up to like, you know, oh, this place is too cool for you. Fuck that. People don't want that at all. Make people feel welcome. Make people feel at home right away.
Yeah.
Make people feel like Cheers.
Yeah.
Where everybody knows your name right away.
And you know what? That guy's name was Mel.
Mel. Look at that shit.
Yeah.
You know? And like, dude, I feel like that's the way, man. That's the way to build some business.
Yeah. Faux shizzle.
Very and cool. I think like one of my favorite things is that like Gabe hit me up and he was like, hey dude, what's our client's phone number? Back in the day, people would get so mad at that.
Yeah. I'm not giving you that guy's number. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yo, back in, what do you mean? What do you, that's my client.
Yeah.
Dude.
What I did the last three tattoos on a motherfucker. Like, what are you trying to pull?
What
do you need?
Yeah, that's so wild to me. Yeah. Like, what? What do you mean? We just want him to keep getting tattooed, bro.
I need to know how he beat that court case we were talking about.
Yeah,
that
dude.
Undisclosed thing that happened.
Shit, bro. Yo, for real, bro. For real.
All right, so shifting gears. I want to talk about two of the posts that I put up last week. One of them, I did a poll asking, how was your apprenticeship? And then, so the choices were, it was excellent, it was toxic, or I didn't have one.
Yeah.
So out of the 456 responses, 49% of the people said that they had an excellent apprenticeship and they are grateful for it.
Cool.
36% of the people said it was toxic. And then
at least half of those people,
15%.
I can math too. Nah, you can keep going though.
And 15% of the people said they didn't have
an apprenticeship. They didn't have one.
All right.
So the follow-up to that, because I was waiting for this, the follow-up was share your toxic apprenticeship story.
Oh, good.
And there was a lot of scary responses.
Yo, I read a couple and I was like, whoa, dude.
There are some scary responses. Whoa. Like felony type of stuff.
Yeah.
Of
course. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
But, and then there were some, like there were some people who were just trolling like, oh yeah, I had to scrub tubes and clean the floors. Like, they were just joking around.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of people in there that I couldn't tell if they were joking or if they were serious, because they were saying things that it's just like, I don't know if that's a toxic apprenticeship or it's just like you got a job that you didn't like the atmosphere and that was it.
Yeah.
So,
man, some of the ones that were like, some women got some terrible fucking deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel bad for you ladies that got treated terribly.
Yes. This one guy, he goes, I'm assuming it was the mentor, used to casually call me the N-word when I did something wrong. Like,
what?
That sucks. Yes. But is that a toxic apprenticeship or is that just you had a shitty boss?
You had a fucking asshole.
Like, that could happen anywhere,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My mentor used to sell coke out of the back of the shop.
I mean, depends how you look at it.
You're like, you know what? You know what? Why are you concerned about his height, about his side hustle and what goes in his pockets?
Bro, you're in that building, bro. That's none of your business.
That's right.
Someone wrote unwanted advances. Like that sucks. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's a toxic apprenticeship. Like that could happen in any job.
That could happen in any job. That could happen in any job. And one of those things like, well, just fucking leave.
Right. And this is kind of where I was going to this. And I was trying to formulate in my mind how to say this without sounding like an asshole, because I don't think that I can. But I was almost trying to figure out a way of like, when you're deciding to get an apprenticeship, you're getting into a relationship with the owner of the shop and everybody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad idea to familiarize yourself with that shop, the environment, the attitude of the people in there before you just jump in there and catch yourself in a situation that you do not want to be in.
Absolutely, man.
So, and this is where I know I'm going to get myself in trouble, where it's like people who are saying that the women who get raped, they put it on themselves, right? But it's almost like that situation in a way that if you're just jumping into the shop and hoping for the best, and it turns out to be that these people are really shitty, it's almost on you for not realizing the type of people who are in that shop, and you just put yourself in that situation.
That's why I think it's so important to get tattooed.
Yes.
At the place.
Yes.
Where you thinking you're going to be an apprentice at, go get tattooed there. Spend time there. Observe how they talk about themselves, how they talk about clients, how they talk about like
how they treat their clients.
How they treat their clients. Like, just feel the vibe. The more time you spend there, the more you'll be able to realize. It's like, oh man, this is a place I want to be at. This is a place that like feels like I want to be around these people. If you're not getting that, man, and that's one thing that with my apprenticeship, I became friends with those guys because they were just cool guys. You know, like, oh man, I like hanging out with them, you know? And even on days where at one point I was a tat rat. Where like on days that I didn't have an appointment,
just
I was like,
hang out.
I'm going to go hang out with these dudes. Yeah. Dude, I'll bring over a bottle and just go kick it with them. You know, I was like, I got nothing to do today. I'm going to go hang out with these homies, bring a bottle over. We'll hang out and go after they close the shop.
Yeah.
And that's how I became friends with them until one day they were like, hey man, we hang out. You're cool. I'm looking for an apprentice. You ever thought about doing this? And that's how I got off of my apprenticeship, you know? But if you don't get to know them on a real level, you're kind of putting yourself on, you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
You are really just rolling the dice.
Yep.
And it's a shitty thing to, I hate that I said it that way, but I think that's the truth.
You got to know the environment you're jumping in.
And if I would say if you're, definitely as a female, man, like just be wary.
Yeah.
Be wary of dudes because dudes are creeps.
Yeah.
Just what it is.
So a part of me always looks at the shops who are like all female shops. And like, there's a very small part of me who's like, but I understand.
You get it.
I so understand.
Yeah. All those girls got burnt.
Yeah.
They had really bad experiences.
Yeah.
And that's fucked.
Yeah.
Sorry, ladies.
Yeah. That's unfortunate, man.
Dudes suck. Dudes do suck.
There were a couple of funny ones in there. Like this one guy was saying that he got like duct taped to his chair and then rolled out into the street.
That's pretty good. Oh, those are like, those are bad, but it's kind of great. I'm sure like he hated that experience, but I mean, he loves to tell the story.
Yeah, of course. And people are like, no way, get out of here. What? Yeah, you live vicariously off of other people's stories and experiences. So they're fun.
Yeah, I don't have any like terrible stories of my apprenticeship.
Nah, me neither.
Either.
You know, me I just either. Didn't get really...
I didn't get paid. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was the worst thing I could ever say, right?
It's yeah. Like, I didn't get paid.
And nor would I ever like have expected it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I was going through it. I was like... What? I'm not going to, I knew getting in that I wasn't going to get anything but an opportunity.
Yes.
No, you know what I'm saying? Like
I paid it. Them.
You paid them.
Yeah. Or it was that case for a lot of people too. A huge percentage. Yeah. Either you paid, which is, it's funny. You try to like pitch that now. Like it makes people do like algebra and trigonometry in their brains. The way they're like, you paid them?
What?
Yeah. To be
the last two people that were in the shop, that apprentice at the shop, they got paid.
Yeah, they got tipped out, right?
They got tipped out.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's part of the reason why I would never apprentice anybody anymore. Because I felt like I tried to give them the thing I didn't have, thinking that that would be better. I don't think it necessarily was.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't think it necessarily was better. I think there's the beauty in the struggle. And I think that that's part of what actually does make you better.
True.
And, yeah. You know, like when you have your back against the wall and your stomach's a little growly, you're like, fuck, I got to work harder, dude. Because this part sucks. But when you're like, kind of being fed a little bit, but not a lot. It's too, sometimes you get a little complacent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little comfortable.
You get a little comfortable. You're like, well, this ain't great, but ain't that bad.
Yeah.
I'm hungry, but I'm not starving.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. It's okay. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to ride this out. Maybe it'll get better, but this ain't too bad right now. And I think maybe it should be bad.
Yeah. I have a feeling like, I feel like I should make you go hungry. And I don't see it in your face that you really...
You really want this.
Yeah,
want
you
this.
Really want this.
Like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We're tipping you out too much, damn it.
Yeah.
There was another guy in the comments. I forgot what post it was about, but he was talking about... It was another apprentice getting paid. I think it might have been the post that when Innes was here and he was talking about... Was it Innes that said this? Or maybe it was Alex saying that the mentors don't get paid to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have been that post. But anyway, this guy was saying how he used to be a bricklayer. And he was an apprentice as a bricklayer. And he was saying the biggest difference, and I 100% agree, and I've said this before. He goes, the biggest difference about someone in the like construction field or electrician or anything like that who's an apprentice and gets paid,
yeah,
they're contributing work that brings the company money. And this guy was using the example of like, he was mixing the mortar. He was actually laying out the brick. He was putting everything, like he was helping build the wall, right? That all that stuff is product that was making the company money. tattoo apprentices. What are they doing? Ripping up some paper towels.
I ripped up this paper towel. I set you up and I broke you down.
Yeah, like
it took those 3 minutes in the beginning and 5 minutes at the end.
The way he put it was so good too. It's like it's 100% true that all those people, I want to say even like an electrician's apprentice too, because I've heard many stories about them that they're pulling line, like they're working and making, like they're working just as hard as the linemen, like the actual electrician. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're making money for the company doing the job. But tattoo apprentices, they're not doing anything that contributes money making value to what like is what they're actually doing for the shop.
Yeah, I feel like the industry as a whole is so much easier. It's not like we don't have to mix pigments. We don't have to make needles. I'm sure a tattoo apprentice back in the day had to show up early and like, you're going to make my needles for the day.
Of course.
You're going to do all this shit. You're going to show up, open the shop. You're going to make needles. You're going to clean the tubes. A lot more work than what a tattoo apprentice now probably has to do.
Triple.
Way more work.
Oh my goodness.
You're going to stand outside and flip this sign.
You know what's crazy is that being a tattoo artist back in the days wasn't even that much of a desirable thing for most of society. And those apprentices did way more, would jump through way more fiery hoops just to be a tattoo artist during a time where it was kind of like frowned upon, or you're just like, no, you don't want to be a tattoo artist, you know? And they still would go through any trial and tribulation to finally become a tattoo artist. And now it's just like, we don't have to know how it is now.
Now you got people's moms calling the shop. My daughter wants an apprenticeship. Yeah. Can you interview her?
Dude, I've had that. I've had emails of that
crazy.
And the environments were way more toxic. Way more toxic.
You know what? Hey, look, I think that's so crazy because I think that's one of the reasons that I was attracted to tattooing and tattoo culture to begin with. It's because it was impolite.
In the fringes of society.
In the fringes of society. And I thought it was badass. You know, I didn't come, you know, from like a perspective of like, oh, it's fucking like artsy fartsy. I love it. You know?
Yeah.
Like it's always been for me to be like, it's fucking badass. Like
totally
dragon skulls, like everything that's like cool and rough and hard. You know what I mean? Like that's what I really liked about tattooing, but not tattooing. I mean, whoosh.
I think it went from a lifestyle of badassery to just being an artist.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Tattoo artist showed up before, like, bad to the bone.
Well, because there's a lifestyle attached to it.
It's like way so badass. So now,
you know, we're just like removing that culture, that lifestyle. Like, these kids don't fucking care.
No. And if you still roll like that, which I would love to like have some OGs that live that lifestyle, come here and share our stories. Because I love those things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially the ones that, especially the ones that like taught us, and the ones that taught them, like it got even more like, how could I say, they were just they had more of those like stories that we kept hearing about.
Yeah,
of those frequent occurrences, you know.
Absolutely. That's why, like, when I hear people tell their story, that, you know, anybody that's been tattooing like 30, 40 years, and you hear when they got into the industry and who mentored them, it is night and day difference than what now is going on. It's just so, so different.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
Thank you.
That the amount of effort needed.
Thanks, man.
That's the part that I think it's crazy. The amount.
Let me know how much it was.
The amount of effort needed now to become a tattooer and to become a successful tattooer, it's slower. If you really think about it, it's less effort, but somehow people have less drive to put in that effort. Because back in the day, if you had to get into a magazine, which was very difficult, you know, even just to work a good tattoo convention was very difficult. You had to be like, to get in and be part of that circle was hard. Yeah. You had to go get the voucher from somebody, like somebody had to vouch for you to get into a show. It wasn't how it is now. I was like, oh, I just paid and I get in there.
I'll never forget. The first convention I did was AmJam in Syracuse.
Yeah.
I remember when we did that convention, my mentor was so excited and he was like, oh yeah, man, we got in. And I was like, this is some bullshit convention up in Syracuse. Like, no, this is a small biker show. Like, who cares? And then he was so upset. He was like, yeah, we got in. I was like, all right. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And then after that, like we did like Philly, which you just paid to get in.
Yeah.
We did Baltimore. You just paid to get in. So I never really clicked. And then there were conventions like Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
Where it's invite only. And I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that AmJam was an invite only,
show.
Because I was so young into the industry. Like, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, man. And I think that that's the part that bothers me when people, it bothers me that people want clients and they want more exposure, yet they don't use the free tool that they use all day while they're waiting for people to just walk in the door to get them. You know, they're just sitting on their phone or sitting on their iPad doing anything else but trying to get clients. I just don't get it. Don't understand it one way or another.
Yeah. I do want to say though, that there are, because we shit on the younger generation of tattooers a lot, but there are some younger tattooers who are just as hungry and have this drive that we did.
Hells yeah, dude. And I don't shit on young generation. I shit on lazy, bro.
Yeah, I shit on lazy.
Shit on lazy.
Is it all right that my light just turned off? Does that mean anything?
Man, it was a good conversation, guys.
That was.
That was not bad at all, yeah.
Sorry, guys. We had some technical difficulties there for a second, and it killed Matt's camera, but he's back on.
I'm back, baby.
But he's back. And we also closed our tab from the bar
next. Oh, yeah.
And that'll happen all in one swipe. But I think the last thing that Matt said is that sometimes we sound like we're shitting on young tattooers, but we're not. We don't shit on young tattooers. We shit on lazy tattooers.
Lazy tattooers. Which seems more often than not to be a young tattooer.
Yeah. A lot of times it's a younger tattooer. And sometimes it's an old tattooer that is not willing to accept that times have changed.
I have a conversation that I might want to keep for an after show.
Okay.
But it's about female tattooers.
Oh, shit.
And I feel like it could get dicey.
Oh, that's man. What I that's definitely keep it for the after show. You're going to have to pay for that one.
If you want to get the after show and find out what we're talking about, head over to patreon.com/honesttattooer and sign up to be a Patreon supporter. This week, we got 4 new patrons that signed up.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Real loud.
That's real loud.
Good clap. Big clap.
So we have Thyrist Tattoos, Ash Tattoos, Cocaine, and Aviana Papazian. Thank you guys so much for joining. And if you want to get the page, if you want to get the after show, like all those guys are going to get, just sign up to patreon.com/honesttattooer.
Rad. Guys, we thank you guys so much for joining us every week and for your support.
Yeah.
We appreciate you guys so much. We love your comments. We love everything you guys send us, whether good or bad. We appreciate it because this is all about building community, and we hope that you continue to tune in every week.
You got any recommendations?
Oh, recommendations. If you want to be entertained, if you haven't watched it already, please watch Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan podcast. That shit's so good, dude.
Oh no,
it is really good. You gotta watch it, dude. It's so good. They talk for about 3 hours, dude. So I watch it in three little 1 hour little bits. And overall,
Tucker's got a lot to say.
Yeah. He has a lot to say. He's a wild dude. But I think one of the biggest things was like having, you know, Joe at the end kind of just say like, it was really interesting getting to know you, and you're a really interesting dude. And most of all, I think you're very misunderstood. That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
Oh. You got anything there? No, not right now.
Not right now.
I'll tune back in when I got something worth sharing.
I have an Instagram account that I want to recommend that maybe a lot of you already know about. This guy, he's got a pretty heavy following. His name is Julian Blanc, and his Instagram handle is Julian himself. Mm-hmm. And he's just like motivational speaker. And everything that he says is like kind of weird, but so down to earth and true at the same time. And the post that I saw today, I don't know if he put it up today, but at least I saw it today. He was talking about surrounding yourself with like-minded people, and specifically about self-esteem. And he was saying that he was talking about starting a relationship with somebody. And when you first meet somebody, you might like be super attracted to their looks, right? And that's the first thing that you notice. And he's saying, try to get past that and look to see what this person's really about. Because after a few months, you might start to not be so attracted to this person, and you start to really see like the personality, and the attractive level goes down. And then you're now faced with the person as opposed to your attraction, right?
Yeah.
And so he's talking about self-esteem, and he's like, you might have this drive that you constantly want to build yourself up, but if the person that you're with is not at that same drive,
yeah,
there's going to be a gap. And then sooner or later, you're going to be up here, like trying to constantly push yourself to the next level. And they're pretty complacent where you are. And then just the relationship is going to break.
Dude.
So you want to surround yourself with people who have the same level of drive. So you're constantly both pushing yourself to better places. And this works. I mean, he doesn't say this, but I'm just kind of expanding on it. This works with being in a tattoo shop.
Yeah.
You want to be around people who are constantly pushing themselves, because that'll only make you better too.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But Julian himself, man, he's a character, dude. Like, he dresses in the most bizarre things. And it's like so hard to take this guy seriously because he just looks like a slob, but he's so insightful. So definitely check him out.
Cool. Man, I agree with that 100%. I've lived exactly what you're just talking about. I've lived that, and that's hard.
Yeah.
It's a hard situation. Anyways, guys, we're signing off.
Thanks for tuning
in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Peace.